Hello, this is Zorro Daddy. I love blueberry pie, and I love the power of make-believe, which is why this story was so much fun to write. It is titled, The Power of Make-Believe and Blueberry Pies, and it's taken from the book, Naughty and Nice, ABDL Bedtime Stories. I hope you enjoy listening to it. And if you're listening to it as a bedtime story, I hope you dream big about being little. Every word you will hear is a piece of my heart, mind, and soul. The Power of Make-Believe and Blueberry Pies by Zorro Daddy. She opened her right eye quickly and shut it. Then she opened her right eye again, peeking at the door. Oh, it was closed, and she was alone in the bedroom now. Sighing into her pacifier, she flipped over from her tummy onto her back. She couldn't sleep. She just wasn't tired. She had tried to sleep, but simply had too much energy in her. Everything around her felt so soft and so nice to the touch, from the mattress cover beneath her, to the baby blanket on top of her, to the nightie she was dressed in, to the diaper around her waist. Her daddy had lied her down in her crib, covered her with the blankets, and filled the space around her with her favorite stuffed animals, making certain to tuck the stuffed animals in as well when he tucked her in. Then he kissed her on the forehead, raised up the side of her crib, and quietly exited the room just a few short minutes ago. She smiled widely at the thought of him. He was never too far from her thoughts, and had never left her heart. Maybe that was what made him so very important to her. They had met and fallen in love, hardly needing to try. Some things just happened because they were supposed to. And having the courage to accept those gifts of life wasn't always the easiest thing for her to do. Why was this hard for her? Because acceptance was easy, but believing that good things can happen would only hurt her worse should they not come to be. And it was hard for her to believe what she wanted to believe, while still protecting her heart at the same time. She had known all her life that she would always be a daddy's girl. It was when she was at her happiest, and she knew she would always be searching for a connection with someone who could make her feel that security, and that comfortable, and that loved. There was no question in her mind about what she sought or the kind of guy she was looking for. When she met him, she would know if he was the right one. So, when she met the guy who was now her daddy, she knew that her journey was at an end. She had never called anyone daddy before. No one other than her real father, of course. Because it was a name she saved for the one person who knew what it meant to her. Her life seemed so much richer, having met someone who nurtured the littleness inside her. Her words couldn't always describe how being his baby girl made her feel, but her emotions and her thoughts made it so clear to her. She wished sometimes that she had the words to tell him what he meant to her. Certainly, she told him all the time that she loved him, but it went so much deeper than just one sentence. Her fear and apprehension was that he didn't feel for her as deeply. She had no reason to believe he loved her less, but it was that sense of not knowing which made it such a difficult insecurity to deal with. Added in was the fact that she never told him how insecure she was about this. Her fears often controlled her actions, keeping her from being able to believe, which is why make-believe was so wonderful. You see, in make-believe, she was strong and could overcome her fears. And in make-believe, she could feel just as safe and as she wanted to, and she could let her little side out. But it was her daddy who had shown her that in real life she could feel just as safe as she wanted to, and that she could let her little side out whenever she wanted to let it out. Her heart clung desperately to what she felt with him, and perhaps it was her fear of losing him which made her not want to do or say anything that would upset the fruit basket. She had an amazing and in-depth imagination, so lifelike that she could enter into the little world she created around herself. Sometimes retreating into make-believe was all she needed to settle the worries that troubled her heart. And right now was one of those times, even though her daddy had put her in her crib for a nap. She sat up and got up on her hands and knees, crawling around the crib and collecting all the stuffed animals, making a pile of them in the center. Then she picked up the comforter and made a wall with it around all four sides of the crib. She sat Indian leg style in the center of the mattress and placed each one of the stuffed animals in a specific place on the crib mattress. Some were hidden behind the blanket stretching around her. Some were sitting right in front of her, and some were behind her. She sat still, closed her eyes for a moment, and reopened them, seeing the blanket wall as the trees and bushes of a forest she was entering, and the stuffed animals as the animals of that forest. She put her baby blanket over her head, draping it down over her body as a hooded cape. She picked up an imaginary basket, and with a troubled heart filled with insecurity, entered the world of make-believe she had transformed her crib into being. She found herself walking through the same forest, down the same pathway that she had traveled many times when returning from the village market. On this day, her trip to the market was for a basket of fruit. She had planned on making something very special for her daddy with that fruit. But she felt forlorn, saddened that she couldn't make herself believe that love was everlasting. Her downtrodden steps may have made it obvious how she felt, or perhaps it was her lowered chin which told the tale of her unhappiness. Whatever it was that gave it away, the animals which were watching her pass through the forest felt bad for her. Three animals in particular, a brown bear, a beaver, and a raccoon, appeared from behind the trees to greet her. She jumped back at the sight of them and froze in fear.
"Well, it's okay. We don't mean to harm you,"
the brown bear said in a deep yet friendly voice.
"My name is Teddy."
"And my name is Baxter," said the beaver as he thumped his big flat tail in greeting.
"And my name is Reddington Reddington," said the raccoon as he stood tall and pushed out his tail proudly. "But you can call me Red."
"We see you pass through this forest every day, but normally you are skipping and are happy,"
Teddy the brown bear said.
"But today you seem sad,"
Baxter the beaver said solemnly as he thumped his tail softly.
"What's wrong?"
Red the raccoon finally asked, getting to the point.
"I don't want to upset anyone by telling them what's upsetting me," she answered, lowering her chin. "No one should have to listen to my problems."
"Well, that's simply not true,"
Teddy the brown bear replied.
"When you're not happy, you need to tell someone why."
"We all get upset," Baxter the beaver added.
"Tell us what's upsetting you,"
Red the raccoon insisted. She smiled slightly and looked up at all three of them.
"I just did," she remarked.
"What?"
all three animals asked at once, confused by her answer.
"I have trouble telling people how I feel because I fear they won't feel the same for me," she answered.
"Go on,"
Teddy the brown bear said, as all three animals sat down in front of her to listen.
"You see, I have a daddy," she continued. beginning to smile as thoughts of him entered her mind. And he is the nicest man I have ever known. He's kind, and he's gentle, and he takes care of me. When I am near him, I feel so safe and so loved that just thinking about him makes me happy.
Is this the man we see you skipping through this forest with sometimes? Baxter the Beaver asked.
Uh-huh, she answered with giddiness. And sometimes he takes me to the village, and I get to pick out whatever I want from the market stands, even if it's something, well, that I know that's going to give me a tummy ache later on, and I know that I shouldn't, but he lets me get it anyway.
All three animals looked at each other confused as she rambled on with excitement. And if I do get a tummy ache at night, he will stay up with me and hold me and rock me back and forth gently until the tummy pain goes away, she continued.
It sounds like the two of you make each other very happy, Red the raccoon said. So why are you sad?
I worry what would become of me if he ever went away, she answered as sadness returned to her face.
I think you should tell your daddy what is troubling you, Teddy the brown bear suggested.
But Teddy, she just said that she has trouble telling people how she feels about them because, well, she fears they won't feel the same for her, Baxter the Beaver pointed out.
Why don't you feel other people will feel the same for you?
Red the raccoon asked.
Because I don't know how to believe, she answered softly.
Well, then that's what we're going to help you fix, Teddy the brown bear said, getting up and walking over to her. You see, believing is easy once you learn to be brave. But we'll get to that in a bit. You need to tell your daddy how you feel, but you need to tell him from your heart and let your little side do the talking.
How do I do that? She asked. By opening your little side up and letting it out now with us, Baxter the Beaver announced. And then going right to your daddy afterwards and telling him how you feel.
You need to have fun right now,
Red the raccoon exclaimed happily.
Finding some fun isn't hard to do. It's all around you. This forest is filled with it.
And we would like to show you all the fun that this forest has to offer, Teddy the brown bear said.
And there's no better way to start having fun than to play a game of hide-and-seek with us, Baxter the Beaver proclaimed while elatedly thumping his big flat tail on the ground. Would you like to come have fun with us?
Yes, she answered with excitement in her voice. Then set that basket down and follow us,
Red the raccoon said. She did so, setting the basket down, following them into the woods and into a sunlit clearing.
Okay. Who wants to be it first?
Teddy the brown bear asked.
Me,
she exclaimed, raising her hand.
Okay, cover your eyes and count to 10 and we'll go hide, Baxter the beaver said.
So she did. She stood in the middle of the clearing, covered her eyes, and started counting down as the animals scurried to find hiding places. Teddy the brown bear took heavy steps but made it to the cover of the huge oak tree at the other end of the clearing. Red the raccoon quickly found a hiding spot behind a rotten tree stump just a few feet away from her. But Baxter the Beaver couldn't make up his mind where he wanted to hide. And when faced with a decision he had to make rather quickly, he often got so flustered that all he could do was run around in a big circle, thumping his big flat tail with indecisiveness. He was a funny sight to behold, running around in a circle, but he did manage to get to the high grass at the edge of the clearing before she was done counting. He squatted down just in time.
Here I come, she exclaimed happily as she ran from tree to tree, climbing each and looking through the branches to find the animals.
Red the raccoon held his breath as she passed by the rotten tree stump. Baxter the Beaver squatted as low in the high grass as he could, even going so far as to hold his big flat tail down to prevent it from thumping as she swished her way through the high grass. but it was Teddy the brown bear who she found, and only because his tiny little tail stuck out from behind the huge oak tree at the other end of the clearing. They played several rounds of hide-and-go-seek. Each one of them took her further away from her despair and allowed her little side to come out, having fun and experiencing happiness instead of worry. It helped her to see that nothing would ever be so trying in her life that she couldn't ask for the help that she needed.
Oh, I have never climbed to the top of a tree before in my life, she said with laughter as they all sat down under the huge oak tree at the far end of the clearing.
And I've never been caught before because I got stuck between two rocks and couldn't get free, Teddy the brown bear said as everyone joined him in a laugh. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
I've never been caught so many times because of my big flat tail, Baxter the beaver laughed. I just get so excited sometimes I can't help but thump it.
Proudly I state, I've never been caught, Red the raccoon said. Did you have fun, sweetie?
Yes, I did, she said shyly while smiling. Thank you all for helping me with my worries. I don't want to ever leave this place. I just wish my daddy could be here with me.
Don't forget that you created this place. You can be here whenever you want, Teddy the bear said.
And don't forget that sometimes you can find the answers you need in the best places, like inside yourself, Baxter the beaver added.
Besides, we don't want you to go just yet, Red the raccoon stated. We want to show you something we call the treasure of the forest. Would you like to see it?
Yes, please, she said while clapping her hands excitedly. They all stood to their feet, or paws, excitedly preparing for the next adventure.
Before you know it, you'll be ready to tell your daddy what's on your mind and what's in your heart, and you'll see that he feels as much for you as you feel for him. And the best part is, you'll believe him, Teddy the brown bear said. Now, hop up on my back and hold on tight. We've got more fun to find yet, but I promise you, when you leave this forest, you'll be ready to share your heart with your daddy.
She climbed up on Teddy the brown bear's back and grabbed hold of the hair behind his neck as the animals led her into the woods beyond the huge oak tree at the end of the clearing.
So what's the treasure of the forest? She asked, keeping her grip on Teddy's scruff.
Well, it's something you could only imagine in your dreams, Baxter the beaver said, running alongside her and trying to keep up with the fast pace that Teddy the brown bear was making.
I wouldn't be so quick to say that, Baxter,
Red the raccoon stated, running along her other side and trying equally as hard to keep up with Teddy the brown bear's pace.
By now you should know she can imagine quite a lot.
It seemed as if the ride would be never-ending, but she saw so much of the forest on the way that she stayed occupied and fascinated. There were so many different animals that were able to live together, or at least live close enough to each other, from the deer that ran across the top edge of the far hills to the wolves that ran back and forth across their path, from the owls in the trees to the squirrels jumping from branch to branch.
How is it that all you animals seem to get along in one place? She asked, taking note of the rabbits who had joined their trot.
Because we need each other. Every animal here has a purpose, Teddy the brown bear said. Without the wolves, the deer would roam freely.
Yes, without bears, the wolves might just be a little too aggressive for the woods, Baxter the beaver said.
When you pay attention to what the animals around you are doing, you detect danger before it happens. Learn of bad weather on the way from treetop reporters like the owls. Steer clear of rotten trees altogether because we have beavers like Baxter who chew on them, Teddy the brown bear said.
And make dams for the river," she said, interrupting him to comment on what she saw as they ran out of the forest and to the river's edge. In front of them was, in fact, a dam. But this dam was built with expert precision. "My humble effort," Baxter the Beaver stated modestly.
"Your finest effort," Red the Raccoon commended
while walking across the top of the dam.
"And a mighty fine effort it was. Come on."
The rest followed Red the Raccoon across the top of the dam to the other side of the river. But she was a little nervous to cross the dam and stopped partway, finding the encouragement from her animal friends to walk the rest of the way. "Have a seat," Teddy the Brown Bear said, motioning to the tree stump along the water's edge. "You see, when we look around, we find what we need in our lives. Sometimes we find what we need inside ourselves, and other times we find what we need in others." "We needed a dam in this river, so I built one," Baxter the Beaver said. "Why was a dam needed?" she asked.
"To complement that,"
Red the Raccoon said, pointing to the waterfall tucked away within the trees about 20 feet upriver of the dam. Her mouth dropped wide open at the sight of the waterfall. She stared at it in awe as the three animals scaled the side of the hill and walked out into the middle of the waterfall.
"Can you hear me down there?"
Red the Raccoon shouted down to her.
"Loud and clear,"
she shouted back, giving the thumbs up.
"Good. Now, what you want to pay attention to is the form and the technique used,"
Red the Raccoon shouted down to her.
"The technique of what?"
she shouted back up in question, as she saw him taking a diver's stance.
"Oh, my."
Red the Raccoon dove off the waterfall, did 3 forward spins, and then twirled around before landing perfectly in the water below. Water which had been made deeper by the dam. She applauded and cheered as he crawled up out of the water and took a bow.
"Well, try this one on for size," Baxter the Beaver shouted down before jumping off the waterfall,
curling up into a cannonball and hitting the water's surface with a fast drop. His big flat tail caused a splash which shot water straight up into the air. She and Red the Raccoon applauded his dive.
"Oh, that stings a little bit sometimes," Baxter the Beaver said as he crawled up out of the water while rubbing his big flat tail.
"It looked like it might have hurt," she said with a laugh. Then Teddy the Brown Bear jumped off the waterfall with no introduction or explanation. He sprawled all 4 legs out and landed in the water with a belly flop that sent a rather sizable wave out of the water, drenching her and the others. Teddy the Brown Bear laughed while joining them.
"I'm glad you didn't make believe cold water,"
Baxter the Beaver said to her.
"Me too," she said, laughing while shaking the water off.
"Why don't you give it a try?"
Red the Raccoon suggested.
"You mean jump off the waterfall? Up there?"
she asked, pointing to it.
"Sure, why not?"
Teddy the Brown Bear asked.
"Because it's really high," she answered, looking up at it.
"I'm shorter than you are, and I was fine," Teddy the Baxter the Beaver said.
"I don't know," she insisted.
"You'd be surprised what you can do,"
Red the Raccoon encouraged.
"Sweetie, be brave,"
Teddy the Brown Bear said calmly.
So,
one small step at a time, she made her way up the hillside, walking out into the middle of the top of the waterfall. Her heart was racing as she looked at the water below. She almost didn't do it. but the cheering animals below somehow encouraged her to go through with it. She took one step forward and dropped straight down. She closed her eyes, feeling the wind rushing up at her before she splashed into the water. She swam back up to the surface with a smile which was brighter than before. It was certainly anything but a graceful dive, but hey, that really didn't matter, did it? Because she was able to do it. She climbed out of the water and ran up to them, babbling with excitement. "Oh, that was amazing," she exclaimed. "I didn't think I could do it, but..."
"Yes, you found out you could," Teddy the bear stated calmly.
She smiled, knowingly. "Yes, Teddy, I shouldn't have doubted myself."
"Hop on my back again," Teddy the brown bear said.
She and the three animals, having fast become a band of friends, made their way through the woods and back to the main trail to find that her basket of fruit was now empty. A bird flew down, landed on the edge of the basket, looked inside to see it was empty, and then flew away. She burst into tears, kneeling by the empty basket and covering her eyes.
"Oh, dear, the birds ate all the fruit," Teddy the brown bear said.
"Can you go back to the market and get more?" Baxter the beaver asked her.
"No," she cried. "I don't have any more money."
"Sweetie, I'm sorry the fruit was eaten. What were you going to make with it?"
Red the raccoon consoled and asked.
"I was going to make a pie for my daddy," she sobbed. "He loves pie, and I was going to surprise him with one tonight."
"And you will," Teddy the brown bear stated confidently.
"How?"
"Well, this forest is filled with the sweetest of berries. We'll find them and we'll fill that basket up with so many sweet berries, you'll be able to make two pies for your daddy," Baxter the beaver stated. She looked at the animals and she smiled.
"Thank you all so much," she said sweetly.
"Thank us after we pick the berries. Come on,"
Red the raccoon said. She picked up the basket and followed them off the main trail to a bushy area in the forest they hadn't been to. The bushes were blueberry bushes, and she happily plucked all the blueberries she could find as the animals did their best to help her. But you see, they all had rather big paws. She laughed watching them try to pick the berries, particularly Teddy the brown bear, because he had some serious trouble picking them. You see, Teddy the brown bear managed to pick the berries with his paws, but kept accidentally squishing them between his paws before he could get them into her baskets. This struck the other two animals as hysterical, as Teddy the brown bear's paws were covered with squished blueberries.
"You tried doing this without thumbs,"
Teddy the brown bear said lightly as he squished yet another berry between his paws, this one shooting straight up and hitting him in the face. Everybody, including Teddy the brown bear, took a seat and just laughed for a while. He licked his paws and his chops.
"I think these berries will make your daddy a tasty pie," Teddy the brown bear said.
"If we can get them picked," Baxter the beaver said, as everyone paused quietly for a second before bursting out into laughter again. With enough attempts, they managed to fill her basket full, making their way back to the main trail once again.
"Well, I guess I better get going," she said sadly.
"Yeah, you have a pie to make," Baxter the beaver stated.
"And a daddy to talk to about how you feel," Red the raccoon said.
She smiled shyly, but sweetly. "Thank you all for seeing to it that I have what I need to do both," she said kindly. She walked up to Baxter the beaver and hugged him.
Thank you, Baxter, for showing me that fun was all around me, and that sometimes you just gotta have some fun before anything else, she said to him. I'll never forget your thumping big flat tail. Neither will I, Baxter the Beaver replied. She walked up to Red the Raccoon. Thank you, Red, for stating to me the things I needed to hear, and that it's okay to be who you are just so long as you take pride in yourself, she said to him. Sometimes when I stop worrying so much, I realize all the amazing things I can accomplish on my own.
You've had that ability in you all along, sweetie,
Red the Raccoon replied.
You just needed an opportunity to realize it. I have this feeling when you talk with your daddy tonight, you'll realize that those opportunities have been around you all the time.
She hugged him and then walked up to Teddy the Brown Bear. She couldn't say anything to start. Tears streamed down her face and she just hugged the big brown bear.
Sweetie, it's okay,
Teddy the Brown Bear said softly, while trying to hug her back without getting his sticky paws on her cape. Thank you for being so nice to me. Thank you for having such a sweet voice and such kind words of encouragement, she said to him before turning to all three. I promise I will come back and see you all again soon.
You'll see us sooner than you think, Teddy the Brown Bear said. Now, remember to let your little side out and speak from your heart.
I will, she said, blowing them all a kiss. They waved goodbye as she skipped down the trail with her basket full of blueberries. Everything went black, and she opened her eyes. She was lying in her crib, and she yawned while sitting up. She must have fallen fast asleep at some point, and, well, she could tell that she needed to be changed. She sat further, and while still trying to awaken fully, she lowered the baby blanket, still draped over her like a hooded cape. She blinked her eyes before looking at the three stuffed animals who were sitting at the other end of the crib, seemingly looking right at her. They were her three favorite stuffed animals. A teddy bear, a beaver, and a raccoon. She stared at them. Had she just dreamt it all? Maybe it wasn't a make-believe game that she played. She'd thought back to the adventure she had with them in the forest. And suddenly, she was filled with the littleness and happiness that had helped her to find what she wanted. And at that moment, her daddy opened the door and walked in. Her heart became filled with a joy she couldn't contain. She got up on her knees, and as he lowered the side of her crib, she climbed right up into his arms, hugging him more tightly than ever before.
I see someone is in a loving mood.
I take it you slept well, her daddy said, hugging her while patting her diapered bottom. And someone is a little wet, too, it seems. Daddy, I love you, she said with no fear at all. She was ready to pour her heart out to him. She had opened up her little side completely. And whether she would come off as being too much or not, she was going to bare her soul to him, leaving herself as vulnerable as she could be. It was bravery that enabled her to jump off that waterfall, and it was believing she could do it that was the greatest reward. Sometimes her insecurities did more than prevent her from believing in herself. Sometimes they made her doubt the things she shouldn't. I love you too, baby girl, he said,
laying her on the changing table and unfastening her diaper.
I need you, Daddy,
she said, looking up at him. Her eyes showed intensity that hadn't before.
I need you to take care of my heart when it makes me want you too much. I need you to slow my mind down when it wants to go racing away with thoughts that makes me scared or thoughts that make me angry. I need you to correct me when my mouth wants to say things it shouldn't. I need you to hold me and keep me safe from making conclusions and doubting the things I don't know, she blurted out before delivering her next thoughts in a softer tone. I want you to tell me why I am your baby girl, and why I need time in a crib, and why I belong in a diaper, and why I need to hold your hand, and I want to know that you feel for me as much, if not more, than I feel for you. I need you to need me. He placed a pacifier in her mouth and leaned in towards her, brushing away the tears from her cheeks before tracing her eyebrows with his fingertips. He kissed her forehead very gently before returning to changing her. Daddy loves you, baby girl. And each passing day, Daddy learns more and more what you need, he said while raising her bottom and legs into the air. You have fear that needs to be made into assurance, innocence that needs to be kept that way, frustration that needs diffused. You look for solutions to problems which don't exist. Sometimes words can't get the job done as they need to, and sometimes it's hard to listen. He slid her new diaper underneath her on the changing table. Before I met you, I never knew what love really felt like, and how clearly it could shine through a pair of eyes which only wanted to feel important. I never knew how good it felt to make things possible that otherwise wouldn't have happened. They weren't necessary things that I needed to fix, but it felt good to do what I was capable of, and it felt even better when you said thank you. And that wasn't because I wanted the glory. It was because you meant it, her daddy said. His words had her mesmerized, and she found herself, for the first time, daring to believe. When I first met you, I saw someone who smiled when I showed up at the front door, who surrounded herself with love but still sought that one thing that was missing. It told me I had a place and a purpose in your world, her daddy said with a softer tone, pausing to collect himself. Oh, daddies are strong, but daddies need care too. It's just a different kind. I will always love you, because I trust you with my heart. Because you have changed who I am. I will always love you, because with you I see the present and I see the future. And what I see are two people who are strong and weak at the same time. But because they are together, it will be all right. He fastened her diaper into place and lifted her up into his arms. I need you, because without you, I would die inside, her daddy said. She embraced him, taking her pacifier out to speak. That's what I needed to hear, Daddy, she said. She wrapped her arms around his neck and her legs around his waist as he stood there and rocked her back and forth. They stayed right there for quite some time. Not another word was spoken. Nothing else needed to be said. At last, she was safe with the greatest insecurity of her life. Not knowing. She was safe with it, because it no longer existed.
Then the doorbell rang, and she sprang back to life, kicking her legs left and right until he let her down to her feet. She loved answering the door, and sprinted out to see who it was. She ran up to the door and opened it, but no one was there. Her eyes caught sight of the container, which was sitting on the railing of the front porch. She walked out and shifted her head left and right, looking for the person who had delivered this package, this container. "Who was it, Princess?" he asked, walking into the living room and then out onto the front porch. She picked up the plastic container from the porch railing and smiled brightly behind her pacifier, handing it to him. He looked at the package. "Blueberries?" he asked. The end.